Well, good morning once again, everyone. Well, as we take a look here, we're diving right into our message because we're wanting to encourage you. You know, tomorrow is the 10th in Four Square Movement. You're in a Four Square church. We are participating in the 21 days of prayer and fasting. So if you have signed up for our newsletter, you would have received a reminder notice today, as well as all the links for our online service, but especially the Foursquare emails that you'll get daily about prayer points. So consider joining us with us by just submitting your email. It's going to be an exciting day. Ainsley, my wife and I, we are going to be fasting, what we call intermittent fasting. But today we're going to be submitting something to you about half an hour with God in prayer. Last time we were together, we were looking at having our time annual Bible reader, and we were encouraging ourselves, make sure, pick these up, read three chapters a day, read your Bible through with us for this year. You might just receive a steak dinner from Pastor Paul, and anything to get us there, but there's something joyful about reading through the Bible. Our theme now, let me throw that theme up. The theme for this year is the kingdom, then you, in 2022. The kingdom, then you, in 2022. We're aiming for putting God first, then, you could see it, T-H-E-N, then you come and receive and recipient of many things. A number of Christians, as they start to grow and develop in their relationship, they often pursue the Lord for something they need right now and maybe not even aware of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as we saw, is really eight words we have by definition. It's really God's reign through God's people over God's place. So if you're feeling like maybe there's just a lack of something of God in my home or in my workstation or my study area, let God work through you as a person of God. The kingdom of God, it was so much a big deal in Scripture, continues on. It was what Jesus started off his ministry with. For a Christian to not understand the kingdom, not understand that there is a supernatural realm. It's very real. It influences the natural. Now, we saw last time we were together the significance of Jesus' teaching. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? And that's in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it started with the Beatitudes. And then Jesus went on to talk about, hey, this is the way the kingdom operates outside of and different from the realm of this world. And he talked about areas in that Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, talked about divorce, talked about murder, talked about taking an oath and swearing by it, talked about finances, talked about areas of just marriage. It was amazing how he was bringing in all these aspects. And then he started dealing with worry. Remember that in Matthew 6? Just don't worry about your life. And what then should we consider? And it was in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to Matthew chapter 6, and it was verse 33. Remember when the Lord had said, but seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's our theme scripture for this year. We are aiming to put the kingdom first. So last time we were together, we are aiming at, let's do our Bible reading. First thing out of the gate. Let's spend time, and then let's just see, because we're going to journey together this year. We're going to see if we put the things of God first, how he'll add to you, to your life. So it's kind of almost like a role reversal. I can't settle down sometimes. I've had people say, you know, I have got too much to do. God will understand. I don't have time to pray. And I certainly don't have time to really study. And you know, then the next thing is I find then even church involvement is minimal. So you can imagine, it's interesting, as we start to grow in the Lord, we recognize, wow, I should probably have not done that If time is tight and things are stretching, it's always the spiritual things that I compromise. And it's like, oh, God will understand. I'll put that on hold for a while. I don't think he will, but it's worth a try. And so in the meantime, let's put the kingdom first. Read your Bible. And today we're taking a look at prayer, because tomorrow we're starting prayer and fasting. We're with the Four Square Church. And so you can see here, this half hour with God in prayer is really a setup. I encourage you to put it in your Bible. It's an easy followed format. There is just six steps here, 5 minutes each. Go ahead and put that sheet out and follow it. Put your watch out. Just follow the clock too. You might want to consider fasting, maybe your favorite podcast. I'm just not going to go there, even though I think it's spiritually soothing to me. Or I'm not going to watch that program or stay away from that news report. I'm going to spend time praying a half hour. That kind of fasting. That's where we're taking a look. If you're with me online, would you consider, and if you're on our website, you're going to see the tabs up there, and it's under media. Media, you just pull that down, you'll see resources. Both these items are right there on our website, the prayer guide and the half an hour with God. It's available, easy to access. I hope you'll join us with that. But let's take a look at this, because our goal is putting the kingdom first. Then you're going to see, I'm believing very much, you're going to see some tremendous things come your way that we're not going to come any other way. The kingdom, then you. Well, Lord, we thank you as we open up the word today, once again, that you're going to speak to us in some wonderful, unique, and encouraging ways, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's message is access the kingdom through prayer. And that's what we're going to take a look at. I think it's pretty fascinating, because we're looking at the aspect how the kingdom of God operates, and there's something pretty outstanding when we end up praying and spending that time with God. You know, it's interesting, because what Jesus said to the disciples about prayer is the most famous prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Even non-Christians know the Lord's Prayer. Even three-year-olds know the Lord's Prayer. We did our little family devotion on the Lord's Prayer before we headed off to school when our children were 6 and 7, and we called it KISS, Keep It Simple, Saint. We held hands, and they had their backpacks and their lunch pails, and we recited the Lord's Prayer, and then we had to kiss each other. And that was very significant, because we had one little bathroom in our home there in Banning, and sometimes you're fighting for dominance in the bathroom, and you had to kiss on your way out, and it was very, very helpful. So Keep It Simple, Saint. But we knew the Lord's Prayer, and it was very significant. Everybody knew the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever heard a three-year-old pray the Lord's Prayer? This is how one three-year-old did it. Said, "Our Father who does art in heaven, hallowed is his name. Lord, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from email. Forgive us our trash baskets, as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." So it's amazing what little children think that they're actually hearing. But I think it's fascinating as we look here at Matthew chapter 6, because other gospel writers put the Lord's Prayer. It's Luke chapter 11. Luke puts the Lord's Prayer right there. And it's prefaced with verse 1, because Jesus just finished verse 1, the Luke 11, 1. He just finishes praying. He says, "As the Lord concluded his prayer, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." Now, I think that's fascinating. Every Christian should learn and know to pray. Every Christian should know those four wheels that we've learned. We must learn to witness, must learn to pray. We've got to learn to read our Bibles, and we definitely have to have Christian fellowship. Those four things would cause a Christian to keep their bacon floating and keep things moving in their lives. And when the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," what's fascinating about that is that they didn't ask Jesus, "Lord, show us how we can prophesy. Lord, maybe you could help us how to open the eyes of the blind. Maybe you can show us how to raise our family, or even, Lord, how to handle our finances. Nothing like that was brought up. They knew something was with Jesus because he himself prayed. Hey, if Jesus prayed, who am I to think I can go without prayer? Can you imagine? Who does that person think they are to go through an everyday situation with very little conversation with God? So the Lord teaches them this prayer. He says, this is what it looks like. This is how it's going to look. And I like the fact that there's no particular posture in prayer. There's no particular way to actually go about praying. There's no particular pattern or place to pray that's better than another. It's really an element of the heart. You and I realize that God judges the heart of a person, doesn't he? First Samuel said that so clearly. God's not like a person who judges the exterior. God judges the heart. I like John Bunyan. Remember John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? He said, in prayer, I'd rather have a heart with no words than to have many words and no heart. So if you could just say, Lord, I don't know how about going about praying, but my heart really wants to be in it with you. I think you're going to find the kingdom, then you. It's going to be some amazing days ahead. Amazing days ahead. Amen. There are so many things trying to vie for your heart and will rip you off. There's plenty of a new wave element coming in our society in Orange County. Just came back from Billings, Montana. I thought, what just happened to Orange County? Everybody's dreadfully afraid all of a sudden and are cloistering in once again. And these are godly people. Though there's something about people are afraid of something, aren't they? And yet the Lord's wanting to keep us motivated and moving in right ways. And I think if we just hear from the Lord, we're going to be seeing some amazing things. Well, sure appreciate. Let's take a look here for a moment. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer from the New King James rendering, and we'll put it up on the screen for you, so follow along. Let's actually say this prayer together. Shall we do that? I'm here starting with verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. Here we go. Ready? Go. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Way to go, everyone. Well, let's take a look. Let's start with point number one. You can see it right on your notes. God's person, our Father. Now, it's interesting because remember, it's Jesus to say, pray in this manner. This was revolutionary. When Jesus said, address God, your Father, in that regard. If there were Greeks in that setting, they would be blown away because all the gods of the Greeks were just vindictive gods. They were jealous gods. They were angry gods. Hey, Prometheus was one of their gods. It would just rain down fire on people. Then you had Zeus. He was like the big dude of the Greeks. And that if he didn't like who he was dealing with, he'd send the vultures to eat out the livers of people. Can you imagine, huh? Who would want to call that god father? So you can imagine it was very challenging for that to say, Jesus is saying, pray to God this way, our Father. Even for that Jewish community, they knew God as Adonai, which is Master, or El Shaddai, the Almighty One. They would never consider calling God Father. But see, Jesus brings in a whole other situation here. It's so unique. Because even the Jews, they revere the name of God. They would say, usually, Asem, which means the name. They wouldn't even speak the name of God. But for you and me, what a privilege. What an absolute privilege to even come before God and say, "My Father in heaven." That's pretty incredible. It's an open invitation. I'm so honored to even say, hey, don't forget, time with God is so significant. It was all about 156 times in the New Testament God is referred to as Father. Did God ever change? No. But we're certainly in a new covenant. You're in a new covenant if you have Jesus in your life. I like Galatians 4:6. You may want to write that down. Check it out. I am a son of God. Galatians 4:6. You write that down. You memorize that. It says we might receive adoption as sons because you are sons, that the Father has put the Spirit of His Son right in your heart. And you cry out, Abba, Father. I'm telling you, that word in both Greek and Hebrew means the same and is mentioned the same, Abba, Daddy. So I sure like that. I don't know why people don't want to go and talk. They oftentimes, I remember being brought up in a form of religion that you really felt like if you didn't show up for a particular service, you really sinned, and God was pretty ticked off and probably would crack your knuckles. But He really wants to look to have time with you. I hope that you'll take a look at that and enjoy that. God is interested in spending time, our Father in heaven. Number two, God's preeminence. Take a look, hallowed be your name, verse 9, as well as verse 13b in our text here as we take a look. That word hallowed means it's a revered name, but it's more importantly that there's a weighty reputation behind that name. There's something about the name of God that should have quite a reputation whenever we reference God. If you can consider that just for a moment, we know that there's many names out there and ways people blaspheme the name of God. You find that interesting, don't you? They either use the word JC this or GD that. Never do they really say, oh, Holy Spirit. I think the reason being the Holy Spirit's the one that brings us to God. You can imagine where Jesus says, don't do that, don't blaspheme the works of the Holy Spirit. If He's not around us, we're not going to be coming to God. There's no motivational direction on that. But we have to be careful. The reputation of the character of God comes with His name. It's kind of like an automobile, right? Toyotas, Fords, pretty good vehicles. But then you hear the word Porsche. You realize, okay, there's a different reputation behind that automobile. It's the same when you speak Almighty God. There's a reputation that's behind that. And when you and I approach the Lord in prayer, and we say, Lord, I'd sure like to have You answer this prayer. How would that answer affect His reputation if it comes your way? You want to maybe consider that. God, if You grant my request, how will Your reputation be enhanced? Or would I be the one that be the benefit of everything here? Let's take a look here. Remember, it's the kingdom, then you. How about number three, God's purpose? When we take a look at verse 10 once again, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, again, I'm just going to assume sometimes people don't really know what that might reference, but does it mean the second coming of Jesus is going to be happening? You know, I think it's going to be important you and I consider jumping on in, reading our Bibles, and praying. Remember when we were meeting outdoors in our circus tent, how we were just talking about, hey, we're really facing probably a dress rehearsal for those elements prior to Christ's coming. And I sure wish things would change just a little bit, wouldn't you? I'd like to go back to normal. What if they don't? What if they don't? Some people, this could be their only spiritual feeding on a Sunday's message like this. And if that's the case, I feel bad because you're in ICU. It's intensive care. We're putting a little bit of drops of glucose in you, hoping to revive you a little bit. So your time with God in prayer, your time around the Word is going to be so significant, where you would spend time and hear from God. Oh, I love that element. Just to be able to have just a portion from the Lord's Word or a portion from Him as you pray. How about our Bible reading passage yesterday? Man, yesterday's Bible reading passage, as you look, it's Genesis 15 and Genesis 16. What a great section of Scripture that fits right here, saying we could call God our Father. In Genesis 15, you could see where the whole Bible, as you read it, it just makes sense when it comes together and you start saying, yeah. It's in Genesis 15 that God shows up to Abram and says, you know what, Abram? I'm going to make you a covenant with you and give you a lot of descendants. And Abram says, God, I'm 99 and I have no descendants, but I believe you. And that's where God counted him as righteous. It's a beautiful thing. I love reading the book. There's so many predictive prophecies. It's in chapter 15 we're referring to that God says, you're going to have so many kids, but they're going to be in slavery for 400 years in another land, and then they'll come back. Prophetic words. Isn't that amazing? Then he says, you're going to have a child that's really not the son of the promise, but he's going to have a great grouping of nations as well, the Arab nation. It's going to be a wild man, but it's amazing how the prophetic word of God, you want to read this book. It's important. It's just not scriptures that are laid out. It's alive. And you give God time, you watch how he will speak things to you, and his purposes about the kingdom is so significant. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, our verse, right? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. So, God, what is your will for me as I pray? It would be a great way to approach that. I know what I'm wanting to see happen. You do too. You know what you want to see. We all have those agendas. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly nothing sinful about it. But have you lately said, Lord, is there anything that I can be aware of that I can cooperate with you? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You know, it is interesting to really sit down and talk with men in particular, because oftentimes we just know that God probably might rearrange our plans, so we don't really want to ask him too much detail. Have you found that out? Sometimes God already, by his Spirit's already speaking that that's not the perfect way, Paul. Don't quite go that way. We know that, but we just kind of suppress it, and we don't really want to talk to God about that. But it's amazing how somewhere along the line, the prophetic word or time in Scripture, you know, God is speaking to me. And God's lining you or me up so that there's something he has that's so outstanding. I get so excited when people start to say, man, it's been a tremendous season in my life. Has anything changed? No, I've just put God first. What does that mean? I'm spending time with him. And you know, we're just needy people. We leak a lot. I think that's why we often need to go to him daily, right? But watch what the Lord will do in a moment-by-moment basis. Let's look at number four, God's provision. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Finally, it's like, all right. Well, God's interested in us asking. And that word bread is a euphemism, really. It just means daily sustenance, those things that you need. Well, if God knows what I need, why do I ask? I think it's just something he likes to hear from us on, don't you? It's like, well, I might as well, at least he could get some credit. Lord, I remember I asked you for that. And it's nice that we even bring it to his attention, because I think there's something when the scripture says daily bread, why that word? Why not weekly bread? Why not monthly bread? I think he just likes having us check in. So, Lord, what is it that I should know or go after today for my daily approach in life? And it's important that God wants to hear from us. I know it says daily bread. In other words, he'll meet our daily needs, not our daily greed. But it's going to be important that we take a look and enjoy that. God loves our fellowship, and he knows how to meet our needs. I'm sure glad for that, and I know you are as well. Number five, God's pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who really have debts against us as well, or have indebted themselves. It's going to be important when we consider that and we ask the Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the things that I find that's so significant, and this isn't a debt reduction plan. I wish it was, don't you sometimes? But many times you can tell this is where Christians are not praying. They're not forgiving people. They're not. If they were to spend time in the Lord's Prayer or even spend time, they'd recognize there's a reminder, I need to forgive that person. But we hold on to things, and it fosters resentment, and we become ill health, physically ill health, and relationships crumble. It's amazing how that element of sin, unforgiveness, disobedience, and we will love that person. We want that to work out. It just shatters. So you can tell when a Christian is really not praying because they really are hanging on to unforgiveness. And the Lord's asking us to forgive. Say, well, I forgave a long time ago. Well, sometimes we have to keep at it. Or at least for ourselves, we don't walk away clean every day. It's kind of like brushing our teeth. How many times you brush your teeth per day? So it's important. You just, Lord, wash me clean. Keep me aware of those things. Our vertical approach, I'm telling you, to God is so significant with our horizontal approach with one another. Be mindful of those areas. Very important for us. And then number six, God's protection. I like the fact where in verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When we take a look here, it's important, isn't it? I think it's fascinating. Many times people don't even think the devil's real anymore. He says right here, the evil one. Who is that? And the other area, lead us away from temptation. You think, well, does God tempt us? He doesn't, because we always remember we take the Bible and we compare the Bible with the Bible. So James chapter 1, verse 13 says that God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man. So it's important for us to recognize, even in this prayer, Lord, you know what I'm susceptible to doing. And I'm just so wanting to go in that direction, but I know if I journey in that direction any length of time, it'll wreck me. So I'm now asking for your help. Deliver me from this temptation. Steer me around. I'm finally ready to give it up. And Lord, don't let the enemy come in. Deliver me from the evil one. Why? Isn't it fascinating how the Lord, like our daily bread, that God would say, hey, don't forget to include this one. There are many times as you are praying, access into the kingdom. And this is where we'll pick up next week about taking the authority in the name of Jesus and how significant that is to literally move and to change things in that environment of yours. Because of when you are sensing that there's something that's not right here in this home or in this relationship, Lord, what am I dealing with? Is there something that is consuming our finances? Is there something that is breaking down our relationship? We talk, but we're not connecting. What is going on here? And we'll discuss those areas. It's sure nice to clear the airwaves and being careful about that. Well, with that in mind, I want to just highlight the importance. Hope that you're going to go ahead and consider once again our theme. The aspect being, we want to not only spend that time reading our Bibles daily, remember putting the kingdom first, but we also want to take a moment and pray. You can see here these six stages once again, 5 minutes each. One of my favorite areas is waiting on God. I'm going to welcome our worship team back up with me. But waiting on God quietly, that's one of the highlights of my time with the Lord. I literally take a notepad or a journal where I just sit quietly. You could see here we explain, if you have to say anything, say something like, I love you, Lord. But don't dwell on things. Try to clear your mind. Some of the best ideas come during this time. It's a fascinating thing. Remember, seeking the kingdom or the kingdom first, then you. Watch how the Lord will provide things to you. You thought, whoa. We've got some great stories here in the church of people that put Jesus first. Maybe they started even in the element of just starting to tithe. Maybe they started doing areas where they started serving and just seemed like that was the breakthrough era in their life. So I just want to encourage you. Remember those days when you were doing things first for God. There'll be plenty of challenges ahead. Plenty of challenges ahead. We're certainly facing some of them in our society. You know, it's fascinating. It's just human nature. Remember those days when we really got hot for Jesus and started serving everywhere around the church and we got our feelings hurt. Then there's others that say, man, I'm hot for Jesus. I'm going to be there. And then COVID hits. And then we got really going strong for God. What a great month that was. And then, I don't know, somebody's asking me to do something. I don't want to do that. It's just amazing how we kind of mix and match how we're going to respond. Man, let's go with the kingdom all the way. Let's just see what God will do for you. It's going to be a great year. The kingdom, then you. No more you first, then God will catch up with me. Remember, when Jesus called the disciples, he said, hey guys, come follow me. The disciples didn't say, hey Jesus, you come follow me. But let's make sure we're getting a chance and experience some great things from the Lord. God is so wonderful. And I hope that you'll take those two items and let's participate in the Foursquare 21 Days of Prayer. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. It's going to be an outstanding day. And I thank you for your time with me as well. We're going to just take a moment. Let's close our Bibles. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's worship the Lord for a little bit. Let's see what God might say, preparing our hearts to say, Lord, this is where I'm at for this coming year about your kingdom. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.